What's up? Happy Friday. Welcome to Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd. I'm here with my co-host, Thomas Drance. Canucks Insider, also covering the team at The Athletic. Canucks Talk brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online at dleamc.com. Coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Drancer, how are you, man?
I'm doing well, bud.
What a beautiful day.
Don't be too excited. Don't be too excited.
Man, I'm so excited.
You're so excited. So yeah, week off for us next week. This is our last show for a little bit. And then we'll be back with you for the stretch run and for the playoffs as long as they go.
Yep.
And then through
and after that, really.
And then after that. Oh, we love the offseason.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of offseason. I'm excited for a shorter offseason. I'm not going to
lie. I am very excited for that as well. A different type of March, April, May, June. Than we're used to.
Way better than our usual, like, watch the first round and be like, here's lessons for the Canucks.
Yes.
This is going to be way more exciting.
It is. It's going to be much, much better. All right. Get your texts in. Big show coming up, as always, on a Friday. Dmitry Filipovich will join us at 1:30. Always look forward to that. Joe Beninati, Washington Capitals play-by-play voice, will join us at 12:30. So we'll look ahead to the meeting between the Canucks and the Capitals. But right now, let's get into the whiteboard.
All right now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks today. March 15th, the headlines. The Canucks made an addition to the organization yesterday. They signed NCAA free agent defenseman Christian Felton out of Merrimack, 24 years old, just wrapped up his senior season at Merrimack. 7 points in 26 games, so not exactly a stud offensive producer at the NCAA level. Was at Dev Camp for the Canucks last year. And my biggest takeaway from this news when it dropped yesterday, Drance, is that NCAA signings were really not even on my radar in such a different way than they were last year, right? Where we spent a lot of time talking about the philosophy behind it, the process, how do you attract guys, who are their targets going to be? Then they go out and sign, you know, Sasson, McWard, Hirose. We spent a lot of time talking about those players. Akito Hirose is in the microscope. And it just, to me, the biggest thing here is just it illustrates how different this season has been. That it's just like, we're not doing any of that because it's just so much less relevant to the team than it was last year.
Well, it's definitely less exciting than the club's immediate term prospects, at the top of the Pacific Division, at the top of the Western Conference at the moment, you know, with a real shot to secure home ice. What can they do? Relative to that, it's deeply uninteresting, but it matters.
It's still important what you're doing. It's just, and I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm just saying it was very understandably not front of mind.
Sorry, that was a pivot.
That's fine.
I was just pivoting. I wasn't criticizing you. I can't believe you said it didn't matter. Like, did you really think that's what I was doing?
No. I just wanted to get on the record. I don't care. Whatever.
Objection. Strike it from the record.
That's right.
Jamie thinks this matters. He just doesn't think it's interesting. This team's traded a lot of draft picks, right? Like, this team has traded a lot of capital. And not just like picks, but also, you know, your Brustevich caliber guys. That there's a lot of futures that have been spent on constructing this team. And as this team approached the deadline and as they got into talks with the Pittsburgh Penguins about Gensel and such, talks with Dallas about Chris Tanev, their primary targets at the deadline were guys that moved for prospect capital, and the Canucks didn't have anything that was of sufficient interest for them to really get in the bidding. Like, in the case of Tanev, they felt like they made a better offer. Other teams agreed. They didn't have enough.
Yeah.
In the Pittsburgh case, they could have won that bidding. Organization feels that they could have won that bidding. It just would have cost them Valander and Lekaramäki, which they weren't willing to do. But they had a lot of A's. They got some C+. They don't have a ton of B's, right? And that's how the Carolina Hurricanes, throwing an entire hive of bees at the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Like in Indian Wells the other day, yesterday.
Yeah. We're able
the bee invasion.
We're able to land a key target for them ahead of the playoffs. So, you know, this stuff does still matter, especially given, you know, all the talk in this market, and we'll get into it in the broadsheet too, of the expirings and the need to replenish and on and on. So, you know, one thing that this club kind of knew going into this free agent period was that they weren't going to be able to offer NHL jobs or,
yep.
or burn your contract at the NHL level. You know, you get your signing bonus, you get your NHL salary for a couple weeks, like that option's closed to them. So what they're sort of left doing is trying to sell the Max Sasson model, which is join the team, your ELC starts next year, and you go to the AHL and join on an ATO. You know, when you look at Vancouver's depth, even in terms of, like, not NHL level depth, right-handed defenseman depth. I saw Dave Hall, who does really good work, Canucks Army writer, noted that Jet Wu, Cole McWard, Philip Johansson, and Mark Friedman, all on expiring contracts on the right side. So there is some work to do beneath the NHL level in terms of bringing in and reconstructing, like, American League depth
right.
on the right side. And Christian Felton is a guy who had 7 points in 26 games this
in
past
the NCAA.
Season. He also got injured the game before I saw Merrimack play live.
Tough.
Which, when he signed, I was like, come on, did I see this guy play live? I didn't notice him at all. And then I checked. I was like, okay, well,
there's a reason for that.
Yeah, good. He wasn't in the game. Which is actually too bad, because I would have probably had an opinion. You know, like, I would have had something to say. But here's what I understand about Christian Felton. The offensive profile is very pedestrian, right? Like, it's hard to make the league even as a defensive guy if you're producing at that level. Like, to give you an example, when the Canucks signed Josh Tevez,
mm-hmm.
who, of course, never played an NHL game for them and is currently in the Austrian league, right? So not a guy who got even close. He had 20 points in 30
Josh games. Tevez did get in one NHL game.
Oh, right. But it was like the burn your contract one,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
So sorry. Excuse me. You know what? No, that's a big mistake, because
that's
I'm
a big
sure
deal.
Is deeply meaningful yeah. to his family and takes a lot of sacrifice to get there. My point is, never was an NHL impact guy. You know, right-handed, this is what my understanding about this guy. Skates really well. Scouts like the gap, ability to keep playing mm-hmm. in front of him, plays a safe game, right? But he's all skating. There's no physicality, no physical value that projects at the pro ranks in his game, and there's no offense. Obviously, you can see that in the counting stats. I think a lot of people were surprised that he was able to earn any ELC. You know, it seemed like sort of a fringy guy for a lot of teams, but I think I think from the Canucks' perspective, you know, we've seen them try to go with a more sustainable, restrained, budgetary model down in Abbotsford, lean a little more on younger players. I think this guy fits that mold, especially given all the departures that they've got on the right side. And, you know, I think you hope that he can become one of those transitional defensive guys and maybe play games for you down the line, you know, in that like Chat Rua deal mold. But again, generally speaking, like, the guys who go on to be defensemen in the NHL, you know, Ian Cole, first of all, was in the NHL at the age of 24, like, playing big minutes. But, you know, his third season of college hockey, 19 points in 30 games. For anyone who listened to my profile of Felton and is texting and like, sounds like Tanev. Guy had 28 points in 41 games as a 20-year-old
yep.
at the NCAA. So a lot is going to be stacked against Felton, just given his statistical profile. But if you're looking for, like, the one thing is, he definitely played the most minutes of Merrimack defenders based on my, talking to sort of, they say he was clearly the number one guy in Merrimack. So if you're looking for a relatively old guy with the ability to, you know, the physical maturity to step into the pro game and log safe, responsible defensive minutes, you know, it's a one-year ELC, so it's not as if you're taking a big swing. He's not even going to take up a contract slot for another year.
Until next year.
No. But
well,
beyond that, like,
right,
only for 1 year
yeah.
if it doesn't work out. And there's a real chance that at the very least he could be useful minor league depth, like, right off the hop. You know, that I think is what they're looking at here. But definitely the NHL upside is pretty limited.
Yeah, and I think the context...
That's my way too deep dive into Christian Feltman.
Hey, man, we did it. Look, no, they haven't played since Wednesday. They don't play today.
Also, this is what we do.
It's a headline.
Yeah.
It's a headline. But the context you passed along from Dave Hall, I think, is really good, right? That McWard, Philip Johansson, Jet Wu, all unsigned after this year. Now, they're all RFAs of various types, right? McWard's the 10.2C. Johansson and Jet Wu are standard RFAs, so they all could be back. It's not as if they're UFAs, but just getting a little bit of a head start on building up that depth chart at the AHL level. I think that's probably the best way to look at this signing. And again, congrats to Christian Feltman getting that NHL deal, that ELC coming out of Merrimack. Did do a year in the BCHL with the Vernon Vipers, I believe, as well. So some familiarity with the province for Christian Feltman. Other headline, we can talk about this later on in the show, too. Canucks, another hard practice. Another chance for a hard practice before taking on the Washington Capitals tomorrow. They're on the ice at Rogers Arena right now. I saw Batchstan doing a lot of power play work out there. We've talked about how much the power play has been a source of concern for this team. Haven't heard of any scuffles happening at practice today, so we'll get you updated on everything from practice as the show progresses. Maybe we can get some Rick Tocchet audio in as well.
Yeah, and lineup, no changes.
As far as we know, yeah. No changes.
Well, no, they tweet, batch tweet
okay,
the lines.
There you go.
Nothing different.
Nothing different. Broadsheet.
Including on the power play, by the way.
So still Connor Garland.
Garland, Besser, Miller, Hughes with Pettersson at the net front.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, you know what doesn't make a lot of sense? Why are the Canucks not good on the power play?
Yes, that also does not make a lot of sense.
It's actually wild. Like, if you'd told me that they'd keep shooting 14% 5-on-5, but that the power play would go in the tank,
would sputter,
I would have been like, no, that's wild.
That's ridiculous.
But that's what's happened. How does it make sense? Make it make sense.
Yeah, I can't. I absolutely cannot. Broadsheet. Update from Elliot Friedman on the latest 32 thoughts today. Producer Dom Shermati helpfully cutting this and sending a clip to everyone at Sportsnet.
Please promote my other work.
Yeah, reminding us all that that he's the producer for
32
Thoughts.
I take Fridays off, but please promote my other work. You got it, Dom.
Superstar Dom Shermati. But we did. He sent too long a clip, so we did have to trim it down a little bit. But anyways, here's Elliot Friedman. Updates on Phil Peronic, some of the other Canucks UFAs.
Look, I think they're going to sign Roenick. I do, unless it really goes off the rails. Like, this one would have to really go off the rails for it not to happen, I think. And besides, Pettersson's the big one. Now, I do think the Canucks are going to try to keep a few of their guys. I think they're going to try to keep Bluger. I think they're going to try to keep Dakota Joshua. And I also think that they are going to try to keep Tyler Myers at a lower number. Zadorov might get... Someone asked me what I thought about Zadorov. I said, I think he might get priced out of there. So we'll see what happens with that. But I just think that might be too high a number for them. Myers, to me, is the most interesting one. I think they know where Bluger slots in the general area. I think they know where Joshua slots in the general area. Myers is an interesting one because I think he'd have to take less to stay. Well, he'd have to take less than what he's making now, but he might still have to take a little bit less than what he could get on the open market. I know internally the Canucks really like Myers, and I always have two. I think he really cares. I think he really plays hard. He's, from what I've heard, he's an excellent teammate, and you know, he's mean, and I think his teammates like that about him. He is the kind of guy who, if someone takes a run at one of your guys, he'll take a run at one of yours, and I think Tocchet really appreciates that.
That is Elliot Friedman from the latest 32 Thoughts. Have we seen a lot of meanness from Tyler Myers?
If meanness is your key attribute you're looking for, then you can't possibly
prioritize Tyler Myers over Nikita Zadorov.
Like, that... That's not why you keep Myers in my mind.
I don't think it's for the meanness, though, but I do think and you've said this as well, right? Just like the total package off the ice for Tyler Myers in terms of being a teammate, his value in
the
room.
It's the good dude quality.
The professionalism, right? The work ethic, all of those things, I think goes a long way. And then I know the other factor probably, too, is he's right-handed. And that, yes, as much as Nikita Zadorov is, you know, a scarce physical profile, like, being right-handed also makes you a scarce resource in the NHL as a defenseman to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And it just drives up your market.
And we see the occasional huge hit from Myers, but that's not what he brings. And it's not like Zadorov where every night you know that he might
drop
the gloves.
He's like a physical menace.
Yes.
Yeah.
He lines guys up. And it's just a totally different level of value. If you're looking for physical value, I don't think that's a good reason to keep Myers. The good reason to keep Myers is, hey, we always end up playing this guy second pair minutes no matter what we try to do, and he's a killer pro who's quietly very good at defending the neutral zone. And in our system, the way we've played structurally, you know, his sort of occasional defensive gaffes have been quieted massively. Mm-hmm. That's the case for keeping Myers.
I think the other important note there from Friedman, which is useful to keep in mind as we've talked a lot about Filip Hronek this week, is, as he says, you know, unless something really goes off the rails, they're probably going to find a way to keep Filip Hronek. And I think that's important to keep in mind, right? You know, we've heard they won't go over $8 million. They even want to keep it below $7 million. But let's not get it twisted. This is still a player that Canucks management is going to make a priority to sign, right? And this is very much feels like the opening salvos of contract negotiation here.
Obviously, they want to keep him, and they want to keep him long-term. And it's going to be fascinating to watch this play out. I mean, you know, if the desire is to get a deal done quick, you know what I mean? Like, if the desire is for Hronek to stay, I think there's no reason a deal couldn't get done relatively quickly, even before the playoffs, right? If the desire on Hronek's side is to maximize his income, then it's gonna wait. You know, and I think that's sort of the key thing we'll find out relatively quickly here is what's the priority, right? Because if you're looking for stability of place, right, then eliminate the risk of getting hurt in the playoffs and all the complications that come from that and on down the line, right? Get the deal done early. If you're like, hey, this is a chance to hit a home run and we got to take a swing at that, which, I would never begrudge a player for doing such a thing. I think that makes a ton of sense. You know, then you drag it out because your leverage enhances the closer you get to arbitration, and that's an important date, and on and on and on. So I actually think the timeline here is going to tell us a lot. If this one is going to get done in a favorable way, the Canucks are going to get him done long-term and lock up a key acquisition, you know, to a team-friendly number.
Yep.
I don't see any reason why that deal doesn't come together pretty fast. And if it drags out beyond the season, I think that's also going to be enormously telling.
Other notes there that the Canucks really want to prioritize keeping Teddy Bluger and Dakota Joshua. Lineup notes, as you mentioned, no lineup changes at practice today from Rick Tocchet. That's the second day in a row. They've run out the same lineup that we've seen repeatedly here, not just in that Colorado game, but in the four-game winning streak preceding it as well. The only difference, of course, Tyler Myers now back involved with the defense corps, skating on a pair with Carson Soucy. As you mentioned, no changes to the power play units either. So still Connor Garland with the other four established members of Power Play One getting a lot of work in on the power play. So we'll see
on
if there's
entries,
any different on entries specifically.
Which is an area that the Canucks have been one of the best in the league for much of the season. I don't know. I don't even know how to diagnose the Canucks power play problems at this point. Everything about it is so average in terms of its underlying profile, and it just doesn't make sense given the talent involved.
Yeah, it's a bizarre one.
If they can't get it fixed, I think we will probably look back and say maybe they should have had a power play coach. But I'm still going to give Tocchet enough time to figure this out before I start really hammering that. But I do think there should be a fair bit of pressure on the Canucks head coach, right? He took this portfolio on himself. We were praising him at length in the first half of the season. The struggles of it do not diminish that he is the Jack Adams front runner and should be.
Mm-hmm.
But we know what the power play needs to be if this team's going to max out its ceiling.
That's the biggest thing for me, is they need it to be a weapon come playoff
time.
They need that extra weapon, right? Like they need the 5-on-5 defense to be real. They need Thatcher Demko to come back and be really good. And they need the power play to get back to a level.
So again, this isn't criticism so much as just like stakes setting.
Yeah.
But I think there should be some pressure on Rick Tocchet to find some answers here, because it's been a long time without this team figuring it out.
A playoff forecast here, nothing really relevant last night, so still a 73% chance to win the division for the Canucks. I did just want to highlight, you know, we're getting back into following a contending team here after a while of not doing that. And when they've lost some of these games to good teams, there's been a kind of sky is falling mentality I've noticed. Florida Panthers got shut out 4-0 by the Carolina Hurricanes last night. Carolina is a really good team. The Canucks have beat them twice this year. Florida Panthers might be the best team in the NHL. They got shut out 4-0. It happens. Dallas Stars, one of the teams the Canucks are competing for first place in the Western Conference, they lost by 4-6 against the New Jersey Devils team. So I just wanted to highlight that. Other really good teams lose games from time to time as well. And the upshot of the Stars losing is the Canucks now projected to win the Western Conference outright in Dom's model with 111 points to 109 for Dallas. So there you go. They're improving their chances at all of these benchmarks.
Thank you, Travis. Let's keep it to a thank you, Travis.
Shout out Travis Green. Yeah, that was a big one. By the way, you're cracking again.
I know.
Blowing it.
Blowing it. Well, the Joey Decord own goal, right? I mean, it's just like so unfortunate. But yeah, no, the Kraken are dead.
As the Golden Knights continue to sputter, leaving the door open, a crack for the other teams.
I'm at least glad my Golden Knights skepticism.
It's still alive and well.
They need to actually play like an elite team.
You would think so.
As much as we respect their resume, you know, at some point you need to actually perform like an elite team to be called an elite team.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Anyway, gambling odds?
Yep.
The Canucks are opened at -205 home favorites. There's some steam on them. They're down to -225 against the Washington Capitals tomorrow. Capitals really outplayed them the last time these two teams met. But, man, the Canucks looked so dog tired in that game. And coming off that brutal, because, yes, other good teams lose, but the Canucks looked like they had the yips in the third period, which is, I think, why people were concerned.
Against Colorado?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. I'm not saying it was like there wasn't anything to criticize in the game. No. I wanted to put it out there as a reminder.
For sure.
You're going to have stinkers sometimes.
100%. It's just the way.
Sure. No, look, it's our job to dig into it and dissect it.
It's the way that I think fans.
Also got to keep some perspective. And by the way, won't be a back-to-back for the Caps. It'll be 3-4, though, on the road.
Yeah. And they're, you know, old.
That's right.
Anyway, over-under set at 5.5 consensus with more steam +104 on the under. I think the Caps are in trouble. You know, one thing I'd say here, with the way the Canucks lost that game, because you're right, good teams lose games sometimes. The one thing that I do want to see on Saturday is I want to see the Canucks like come out and thrash a completely overmatched Capitals team who outplayed them the last time. The Canucks, you know, did a smash and grab to come out with 2 points out of that game. Bit of a gift, right? Given their form. I want to see the Canucks come out and flatten this team, especially with the way they performed on Wednesday.
I'd like to see like an energy gap too, right? You're at home. You've had these long layoffs. Yeah, you've been practicing hard these last couple of days, but this is an old team, 3-4, you know, way out on the West Coast from the East Coast.
You should have
the jump. You should have the physical energy edge in this game, in addition to being a better team.
It's been a while too since the Canucks came out and just outclassed somebody. You know what I mean? Like even that Ducks game, you know, it's like, there's been a lot of it's been a while since the Canucks did like one of those November just flattening.
I mean, Winnipeg, they were way better than Winnipeg.
They were.
Yeah.
They were. But I'm
that's
just
the
saying,
most recent one.
Even that, though, was like a lead they kept building.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm talking about like pyrotechnics.
Right.
I guess we got them. It was a 5-0.
It was a pretty good win.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
All right. We'll take a break.
Really good. Excuse me. Obviously. but you know what I'm saying? That's not an overmatched team.
Hey, why not go out and do it again?
That's the opposite of the Kings loss.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where
the score
looks one way, but the flow of play wasn't necessarily that bad. I want to see the Canucks do, like, flatten an overmatched team with a purpose on Saturday.
We'll take a break. Joe Beninati, play-by-play voice for the Washington Capitals, joins us next here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.